This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. What are you doing? It's me, Rob.
Come on, Rob!
Big Sook's out at spring training. Doing a doubleheader today. Saw my Royals lose to the Diamondbacks, and now he's going to the Mariners game tonight. Dodgers game, too expensive. Buckley is over there.
And also, who's in charge of your penis?
Whoa. It was a drop. This is hour two of the radio program. Hour three, we will have Joey Harrington on from a very special place. He is traveling, and he will we'll call him. And I'm not going to tell you where he's calling from.
He's traveling, and he will call him?
I said we will call him.
Oh, I thought you said he will call him. At least that's what it sounded like.
Shut up, Bob.
What? You rarely have good questions.
I do knew that.
No, we're going to call him at 5:30, and he's going to come on. He's going to tell us where he is, and he's going to tell us what he's doing. And it's pretty cool.
Why are you going there?
Steph Curry, 12 threes last night. How many do you have?
56.
God.
56.
You know, listen, it's well documented here. I don't watch a lot of NBA, okay? I don't like the league. I think the league kind of sucks. And when the Blazers aren't any good, it's just, you know, doesn't mean a lot for our show, so I don't watch a ton of it. It's got a lot of problems, that league. But I tell you what, one thing that isn't a problem for the NBA is Steph freaking Curry.
He's so good.
Dude, he is, and I forget about him. Like, I just, because the Warriors aren't that relevant anymore. Sorry.
Well, look out. 7-1 since the Jimmy Butler trade.
Okay. And yeah, I mean... You know, you can't count them out. They
were on the outside of the play-in looking in, and they were getting counted out. Now they've had a little resurgence. I don't think they can make a run or anything, but suddenly they're playing good ball again, and Steph has turned it.
But what year did they last win the title?
22.
Yeah, so these last 3 years, whatever. You know, but Steph, still there. I don't know how old he is now. Mid-30s? By now?
Yeah, he's got to be 33, maybe 34. Let's find out.
Yeah, why don't you Google that? But I love him. I got to profess my love.
He's 36.
Yeah, he's 36. Okay, and he's still kicking some serious ass.
That's right.
You know the Olympics thing, and you know he's just if you concocted a superstar in a lab. That guy might be what is spit out.
you could not create, at least from the outside looking in, a more perfect image of a superstar. The worst thing anyone has to say about him is that he's annoying for chewing his mouth guard. Like, that's it. What is...
I don't find that annoying. Do you?
What I'm saying is that's the only thing anyone can grasp at.
Yeah.
Like, or some people have said that his wife's annoying. And it's like, okay, whatever. She tweeted one time that the game was rigged.
Well, off the court, there's not been any problems.
Nothing.
He's a blast to watch.
Yeah, he's electric.
See, that's the thing about LeBron. LeBron's the greatest of all time, in my opinion. But he's not that fun to watch. He's just a tank.
And maybe that's
where... Steph is like...
That's the thing is, LeBron is physically impressive,
correct.
Whereas watching Steph is just fun.
Well, and it's not to say that LeBron doesn't have skill. Obviously,
of course
he's the greatest of all time. But when you talk skill, just basketball skill, Steph Curry just jumps off the page. He is awesome. And he's been awesome for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know him. He's your close personal friend,
that's
Steph
right.
Curry.
Yeah, we're like this.
I just don't think you could ask for a better superstar. My question about him would be, how do you think he goes down in history? Because he's kind of LeBron era overshadowed a little bit, even though they had a nice little rivalry there, and he's won titles.
Well, he and LeBron met four times in the titles, and he won three of them.
Yeah. Well, should have won four.
Should have won four. I mean, I think... It's really hard when you have to start like comparing eras and what are you going to do with Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and stuff like that. But as far as we're talking about like all-time NBA greats, he's a top 10 player.
Oh, you think so?
I think he
top 10 all-time?
Yeah.
Whoa.
He's the greatest shooter that ever lived. And it's not close.
And that's going to be, I think right there, that's his legacy.
That's part. Well, and that, but then you also see like all the things that teams have done to try to stop him, and he still finds ways to score. His ball handling is unbelievable. His finishing at the rim is unbelievable. He's won, he's led teams to championships. He's added a gold medal to his resume. He put on the most electric international basketball finish over France that we've seen since ever, like on the international stage. I mean, he's got a lot going for that legacy right now.
Yeah, he's awesome. I don't know that he's top 10. I was just looking at the ESPN, what do they do, the 70 best. They did this most recently. They had Shaq, Kobe. This is their top 10. All time, they had Shaq, Kobe.
See, I put him ahead of Shaq.
I don't. I mean, I like him more than Shaq, but...
I mean, Shaq was dominant, but...
Dominant. Absolutely
dominant.
That's
the only unanimous MVP ever.
Mm-hmm. You build a good case.
Had the best offensive season ever.
Tim Duncan is 8. Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, you remember him?
I do.
Magic, Bill Russell, Kareem, Jordan, LeBron. And I can't argue with any of that.
No.
I mean, if you're replacing one guy in the top 10 for Steph Curry, it might be maybe Duncan. Maybe. But I don't think so.
I mean, Duncan's got all the same championships that Curry has. I think those guys are really good.
That's a good comp. Yeah.
I mean.
No, you're right.
It's weird because all those guys have different legacies. Like, LeBron is obviously a top 10 player of all time, but he's moved around and he's like.
People don't like him.
He's rubbed some people the wrong way. A lot of his game is just physical, brutish force. I mean, and then you look at guys like. Like, Larry Bird was an amazing basketball player, but like, and then people say, well, what would he do in today's NBA? Would he be just a guy? I mean, I know he stacked championships and he stacked, scoring titles and things like
awesome.
That. But
he'd be a killer.
Probably.
Because he was a killer.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I never thought of Steph as a top 10 guy. I mean, he certainly makes a case. Somebody else brought up the fact that, think about the way he changed the game with his, and that's true too.
And maybe now... For the worse, because whether it's what all the other teams are just chucking, I mean, but they were the first to kind of do the three is better than two, and we don't care if we miss more of those because we'll end up making more than our opponent. That has contributed to making some of the league unwatchable, and it's contributed to making youth sports terrible, but he's the only guy in the sport since Jordan with the dunk contest has like revolutionized it with taking this shot.
Well, you can mimic him. And you can't you can't really mimic LeBron. You can't,
no.
You know.
No.
It's just, you have to be built like him.
But the embrace of the three-pointer is like the biggest thing since the embrace of the dunk.
Yeah, for sure. And he's, I mean, you said, what did you say last night? He 9 or more three-pointers in a game?
Yeah, so I have a couple stats on this. The first one that I sent you was that players in the NBA who have had performances of 9 or more three-pointers in a single game, you have, let's see here, CJ McCollum's got 3 of those games. J.R. Smith's got 5 of them. Ant Simons has 5 of them. James Harden has 9. Dame Lillard has 14. Klay Thompson has 12. Steph has 45. 45 games of 9 or more three-pointers. And then he obviously kept going. And the other stat that's just as staggering, there have only been 20 games in the history of the league where a player's made 11 or more three-pointers. How many of those do you think belong to Steph?
How many again?
20 total games where a player's made 11 or more threes.
Well, I'm guessing all of them.
He's got 14 of the 20.
Who are the others?
Well, Klay Thompson had the three-point single-game record for a while. He might still have 14. I think Ant Simons might have had one of those games. But, I mean, only 6 other games by any NBA player where there's been 11 three-pointers.
This pertains to nothing, but when I was at Kansas, there was a guy by the name of Downtown Terry Brown.
Okay. I bet Dame has one of those games, by the way, with 11 threes.
11?
Let's find out. It's not going to be hard to find.
And there was a game, I don't even remember who he was playing, but just one magical day at Allen Fieldhouse, we were at the game watching KU play, and Downtown Terry Brown hit 11 threes. And it was, that place was nuts, and it was awesome. I'll never forget it. Downtown Terry Brown. And he never did anything after that. But 11 threes, dude, it was magical. I mean, there's something about the three-pointer. But Steph, I love the fact that you said Steph is the Tim Duncan of this time. And I think that's right.
Because he's perfect in every way for his team, for the game. And he's not the most popular. I mean, that's still LeBron. And he's not the most talked about. That's still a lot of these other guys who are like doing the social media stuff, and he's not really very polarizing, but he's just been incredible.
Here's a text. Yeah, he's likely got to be top 10. Think how he changed the game to people just chucking now from deep rather than driving to the lane. He's won. He's changed the game. The 2016 NBA Finals will go down as the best 7-game series in NBA history. Best finals, best comeback. It has everything.
But just he lost that though.
Well, yeah, that's LeBron's comeback. But just that finals deserves a documentary. Curry is a top 10 player for sure. Bird would be a star today, but seriously, LeBron is supremely talented besides being a 41-year-old specimen. Yes, of course. Who said LeBron wasn't talented?
Oh, no, nobody. But their skills are very different.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's not to say LeBron's not skilled.
No.
He's just, it's a bit like the Shaq thing in a way, that he's just built differently. Like, you can't stop him. He's a tank.
All right. Records for three-pointers in a game. Klay Thompson has 14. That's the all-time single-game record. Steph Curry, Zach LaVine, and Damian Lillard have done 13 in a game.
Okay. I don't remember Lillard's 13 game.
That was,
13 threes.
That was against the Rockets in February of 2023.
Huh. Okay.
He went 13 of 22 from deep.
Damn.
And then guys who hit 12 in a game, Kobe Bryant, Donyell Marshall, Curry twice, Lillard twice, Klay Thompson 3 times, Keegan Murray.
What?
That's it.
Keegan Murray.
And then there's a bunch of guys who've got 11 in a game. But
well, I'm sorry. I love your boy Steph Curry. I think he's greatness.
I do too.
And I love everything about him.
Forgot to mention, he's a golf bro.
He loves golf and he's good at it. And he's just, Steph Curry is probably the funnest basketball player to watch. I'm thinking since ... I got to say it. Jordan.
I think that's right.
I think he's the funnest basketball player since Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, everything from, I mean, I still remember covering him in the Bay Area and his pregame routine becoming such a spectacle that people were showing up to the arena like 2 hours early, like it was batting practice at a baseball game. It was unbelievable. They wanted to just watch how he warmed up, how shooting it from distance, his tunnel shot, whatever. I mean, people are captivated by the guy in ways that no one's been captivated by a basketball player's talent.
He's got it all, man. And he landed on your team. And you got to go to his house.
Three of his houses.
Three different homes?
Yeah, well, they...
What were you doing? You were like
kept getting paid, and then they kept moving to bigger homes. but I was... before he became a really big deal and before the Warriors won their first title, his wife was interested in elevating her public profile, and she's in the kind of... in the culinary sphere, and we said that we would to do a monthly cooking feature with her in our Warriors monthly magazine show. And so part of that was like, obviously you say yes to this because it gets you a pass into Steph Curry's house once a month. So we're like, we got to do this. Even if she sucks at cooking, even if she sucks on TV, we still need to go do this. But she was great. And the segment ended up being really popular, and he was a super nice guy. So for four seasons in a row, I went to his house once a month during the year.
And what was he doing while she was doing the
It was funny, like, because they were they had like young kids at the time, or were having kids around that time. And so she usually didn't want to schedule it if he was going to be gone at practice or gone on the road. So we were almost guaranteed to be there around him all the time. And you know, mostly he was just taking care of the kids so she could do the cooking segment.
Yeah. Take these S-heads while I go on TV.
But then he would always be a good sport and throw a microphone on and like come in for the taste test of the food afterwards. And he was the one who asked me and a cameraman if we wanted to sit down and have lunch with him one of these days. And like, just super gracious guy.
What do you order?
His wife made shrimp and grits. It's delicious.
Oh, shrimp and grits, huh?
Yeah.
I can't get behind that dish.
Okay. Well, you don't have to.
I do love shrimp. And I love Steph Curry. So there we go. A little hot Steph Curry talk. 12 threes last night, 56 points, still doing his thing.
Did you see the other thing that he basically is now the owner of February 27th on the calendar?
Why?
That it was also the night he hit the famous double bang Mike Breen shot against Oklahoma City. That was his 11th three of the game and was a game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was also the night of his first 50-point game in Madison Square Garden when he scored 54. So he's had three 50-point performances, or a 40 and two 50s on February the 27th.
And man, can he hit an 8-iron.
I wonder what his best club is.
What's your best club?
What's my best club?
Yeah. What club do you... Isn't it weird how you feel more comfortable with a club? I mean...
Yeah, it's my four hybrid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like I can just... I can knock that thing straight 185, 200 anytime I want.
You give me a pitching wedge 130?
Yeah.
I'm going to be money.
Okay.
At least I feel that.
I used to feel that way.
I'm confident.
Less so these days with the irons.
Well, anyway, a couple people bringing up Allen Iverson. Steph Curry, the most fun to watch since Allen Iverson.
Iverson was really fun to watch.
He was. Curry, I think, more so.
Yeah, Curry a better scorer. I mean, Iverson could get to the bucket, and he had to be really creative with how he handled the ball because he was so little.
Did you ever get to see Steph naked? Somebody asked on the text line.
Never did see Steph naked, no.
Wow!
It is weird, though. You cover sports long enough, and you've been in enough locker rooms, and you see someone pop up on TV, and you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen that person's penis.
Yeah, I've seen him naked. Saw Yao Ming naked. That's my.
Is that yours?
Claim to fame. Yeah. After the Blazers Rockets playoff game, went into the visiting locker room. Oh, dude, that guy. You ever see him up close?
I've been in the same arena as him, but I've never stood
like right next to him.
No.
His sheer size. I mean, dude, he is an. I don't know. It's hard to even describe that dude. Up close.
I also think...
And I'm not even talking about his nude body.
Sure, just the sheer
just
size
him.
Of like
I'm trying
a
7-foot-4
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, his legs are like bigger than me. It's like
trunks.
Two of me as his legs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
All right, a couple of other NBA notes coming up next. Joel Embiid, will he be traded? And there is another team who spoke to the Mavs about Luka, we're finding out. That's next on The Fan. We're playing... Nice weather music. Yeah, this is Sam Fender.
That's right.
And who is Sam Fender?
I don't know. A friend of mine shared Sam Fender with me because I like the band, as I mentioned before, War on Drugs, and he thought it had a similar vibe. I don't disagree, and I really like this jam for good weather.
I like horns. Yeah. Someone said they sat front row. Yao Ming's legs... were as wide as Joel Prisbilla's waist as they boxed out on free throws. That's right, dude. His legs, unbelievable. The sheer size of that dude's legs. And his third leg.
Is that right?
No, I will not reveal what I saw. Look, when you go into cover naked guys in locker rooms, it's always a very awkward thing.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like a lot of the guys just cover up. They have a towel or whatever.
Most of the time. And that's kind of, I think, how it is now. Yeah. It's really rare that everyone's just walking out, dongs out.
Yeah, like, it's not. Yeah, you don't often see. But every once in a while, you just catch something at the wrong time. Like, because you're not looking. You don't want to. You just.
But it's there.
But and, you.
I mean, you would still notice someone's pants if they were a certain color or whatever.
And so every once in a while, you just look it's a certain direction, just, and it's just right there. It's like, ah! And that was.
It's not looking. It's seeing. There's a difference, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So Joel Embiid, they're saying now they're going to shut his ass down because he's hurt again. 19 games this year, you said?
19.
God. That dude, he had injury troubles all the way back to Kansas. Remember, you know, the year that he was at Kansas, he was only there 1 year. The year he was there, he played most of the season, but then he got hurt. They were the best team in college basketball. They were going to, I mean, he was awesome in college, like right away. And he got hurt. They shut him down, and Kansas got upset in the tournament. So this has been going on, you know, even in college. And I just don't know what you do. I think the Sixers are stuck with him. I was reading today, he's got about $200 million left on his deal, $60 million. He's going to make next year?
Well, in addition to the injury stuff, I don't know if you're paying attention to this. I want to say it was maybe a month ago or so, but like they had to have a big players-only meeting, and Tyrese Maxey, who's now like the real superstar there, essentially like came out and said like people are sick of his act. He's not showing up to meetings. He's late places. And, you know, they've been like teammates and the front office been covering him for long enough, and everyone's kind of tired of his deal. Like,
oh boy.
Like even if he's healthy, I don't think he's necessarily the guy you want to roll with.
Well, I guess the question is, there's always desperate teams that make moves for guys that talented. But with that price tag, maybe some, like you say, some motivational issues or his act, whatever, that factors. Like, is a team going to, would they trade for Joel Embiid? Like, would you? You're a Blazers?
I wouldn't, no.
I mean, the Blazers would.
But here's the thing. If you're the Blazers, you already have a hard time landing superstars. It's different for each franchise, right? Depending on how much money is at your expense, how hard it is to get a Joel Embiid-type player, would it suck for him to do the same thing that he's doing in Philly now on your roster if you committed a bunch of money to him? Yeah, absolutely. But is it your only chance to get a guy like him? Also, maybe.
It's true. That's true. And who knows? Maybe he stays healthy. Maybe you get lucky.
Seems unlikely, but you know, you might have to roll the dice on that.
Yeah, I don't know, because when he's healthy, he's awesome. But it's, I don't know what the Sixers would even get in return, like what that market would be. That's a weird one. But they're saying they're going to shut him down for the rest of the season, and then, you know, we'll see what happens with them in the offseason. But I don't know. I think they're probably stuck with him. Another team spoke to the Mavs about Luka. It is being reported by Sam Amick. Because we've, to this point, thought that, or at least it's only come out that Nico just called the Lakers, but he also called the Bucks, I think, right?
It was initially believed that it was just Nico and Pelinka keeping things quiet. But yes, it is out there that, well, if we're going to take a shot on acquiring a superstar, let's go for Giannis first.
And that's wise.
And the Bucks said, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks. The other one that that Sam Amick is reporting that they call, that the Mavs called is Minnesota for a swap with Anthony Edwards.
Interesting. I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Huh. That came out today. And, of course, didn't happen. And Amick also reported that the Timberwolves were absolutely stunned by that phone call. Floored.
I bet the Bucks were too.
Guaranteed. Well, so was Rob Pelinka.
Yes.
By the way, were they chanting, did I read right, that they were chanting Thank you, Nico, at the Lakers-Mavs game the other
night. That's correct. Yeah.
So they're going to put up a statue of Nico Harrison in LA.
And much to my surprise, Nico was in the building, sitting in the stands.
Yeah, they showed him.
There's a pretty cold photo of Luka like eyeballing him from the court and him like locking eyes. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he was down there pregame, high-fiving Pelinka. Unbelievable. Boy. Unbelievable.
If you're a Mavs player, do you just want to hit him?
Yes.
Chumming it up with the guy you just made the deal with in his house?
Kyrie. I mean, what must he think? He's like, we were good. Now we're... Although you did get Anthony Davis for a half.
For a quarter and a half?
What a mess. All right, we got to go because we've got In the News coming up next. Somebody named a restaurant in Oregon number 2 in the United States.
Whoa.
Yes. Now,
is it one we've been to?
It is not Con.
Okay.
It's something I've never heard of this restaurant.
Oh.
And I'm sort of doubting. I mean, look, I don't want to.
Skepticism is peaked.
Well, I'll see if you've been. It's we'll talk about it.
We'll get into it.
We will. Coming up next. Here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, this is a vibe when the sun is out. Fleetwood
or
Mac.
When it's going down. It's good daytime sunshine music. It's good sunset music.
Dreams. Great album. All right. Welcome back to our show. It is February 28, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Please be seated. Honk your horn if you're horny.
Vice.
It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Tooth Fairy Day. What is... That was a misfire, my bad.
I was going to say, what was that?
What is the... I'm always just kind of playing with my mouse over here, and I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, that was the Nemec Open for the recruiting show.
Yeah, big show last night.
I know that sound.
National Tooth Fairy Day. What is the going... You have little S-head kids. Of course, they haven't lost any teeth
yet. They haven't lost any teeth yet. I don't know.
What would you give them if they lost a tooth tomorrow?
So right now, the oldest has zero concept of what's a lot of money or what other parents are giving their kids because he doesn't even know it's a thing yet. So I think I could just give him a dollar. Or the Tooth Fairy would bring him a dollar.
Trying to skimp on your kids.
No, I think the Tooth Fairy would bring him a dollar, and he would think that's awesome because he doesn't have any money, and now he has one money. Like, that's how it would be.
It's got to be at least five, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think probably for your first one, yeah.
It is also National Science Day. So in
those
words,
scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
The famous words of what I believe it was Jesse from Breaking Bad. Yes, yeah, science.
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, yeah, science.
Okay, so this is from Yelp, which I don't know. Do you use Yelp?
I do. I mean, not like frequently, Yelp? But if I think it is. If you're trying to decide between whether it's restaurants or services, like a place where there are reviews and a lot of them, I think can be worthwhile.
I feel like Yelp, and I don't know this to be true, but I feel as though Yelp does a pretty good job of making it legitimate reviews. Like they,
I think so too.
You can't beef yourself up on Yelp,
and you can't. It doesn't seem like you can really just tank something either.
Right?
They all seem relatively fair. And now I really don't use it for restaurants as much as I do like services. Like I'll use it for like tree trimming or for a plumber or something like that.
Now Google reviews,
yeah,
I don't know either.
I'm a little more trustworthy of Yelp, but I'll check both.
Yeah, I always look at it, but I don't really trust it. Plus people are kind of stupid, you know, so it's like, why am I trusting the opinion of you know, Clint from Yakima? You know what I mean?
True story.
Yeah.
So this Oregon restaurant was ranked number 2 on Yelp's top 100 places to eat 2025.
That seems like...
Yeah.
So nationwide? Or is it international?
Nationwide.
Okay.
Yeah, it's U.S. It is out in Hillsboro. I've never heard of it.
Okay.
But it's out your way.
Okay.
You live out that way.
Yeah.
The restaurant is... Number 2 in the U.S., Twisted Gyros.
Really?
Yeah. You ever been there?
I haven't, and gyros, like, one of my wife's favorite foods. So
she loves the gyro, huh?
Loves the gyro. Loves Mediterranean cuisine.
Well, they say, I caught this on Oregon Live, they posted this and said that Twisted Gyros in Hillsboro was awarded the second place spot thanks to glowing 5-star reviews that praise the entire fusion menu.
So that's the other thing about this, and this is why, in general, I think you can be skeptical of things like Yelp. To me, this sounds like the restaurant has just done the best job of convincing customers to leave a 5-star review. It might be that they're great, and if customers are willing to do it, chances are they're pretty damn good. But are they the number 2 restaurant in the country because they serve the second best food in the country or because they've gotten their customers to leave their most good reviews?
So this says, to compile the top 100 list, Yelp says their data science team starts by using the data generated from our community submissions. We considered both the rating and the volume of the reviews while accounting for the overall restaurant activity in each business's area. From the candidate restaurants, we narrowed the list down with the expertise of our community managers and trend experts to curate a list as quirky, interesting, and unique as the Yelp community itself. Ick. 3 other Oregon restaurants made the top 100. Dos Mundos, which is a food truck in Newburgh.
I've had that. Incredible Mexican food.
Is that right?
Yes. Really good.
Where exactly in Newburgh?
It's honestly, it's like a little cart in front of like a Kragen Auto Parts or something. It's
really?
Like it's like right off of 99, and it is one of the best burritos maybe the best burrito I've had in the area.
Well, why did you go there? Were you told about it?
My mom lives in Newburgh,
so like, you just stopped to get a burrito. Well, we'll try.
I mean, we like, you know, we we're either going to or from, or like, can we pick up lunch or something? I mean, I don't know. My mom and my stepdad go frequently because they knew about it, and it's awesome.
The food court thing is hard because I just don't know whether to... I guess it's, you got to go by recommendation.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know whether to trust them.
Well, it's like a food cart getting a great recommendation is different than a restaurant getting a great recommendation. In both cases, you're assuming good food, but you would recommend a restaurant for other reasons besides just the food, the ambiance, the menu, like drinks, whatever. Whereas if you're recommending a food cart, it's pretty much
just
the
good
food.
Yeah, it's just food. Yeah, just good food. The Riv Cafe is a coffee shop in the Dalles.
Never heard of it.
Has a hearty brunch. Made the list, number 53. And OC Taco, Oregon City Taco Shop.
All right.
Offers margaritas and house specialty cocktails. That came in at number 98 via Yelp. So,
way to go, local institutions.
Well, I'm guessing that is an important thing for those restaurants. Any restaurant.
I'm sure it is. That's the kind of thing that you then frame and you put in your little entryway. And
hell yeah. All right. Portland has lost the world's smallest park distinction.
No!
You know we have the world's smallest park.
I do. I've been to that park.
Yeah? Did you play in the park?
There's not really room to play in the park. I set foot in the park.
What is it? Mills End Park? Or Mill Ends Park?
Yeah.
That's the one in Portland. It's right on NATO. Cheeky little thing, you know. It's
so dumb.
It is. It really is
it's
dumb.
It's a patch of grass that you filed some paperwork for. That's right. What it is.
Well, it has held the record for world's smallest park, and this is the actual Guinness World Records. Mill Ends Park in Portland has held that record since 1971.
I guess I didn't know it was the world's smallest. I thought it was the smallest maybe in the country, but or in the yeah, interesting. I had no idea.
Go searching for a smaller park, Buckley, in anywhere in the world, and you will not find it. Until you go to Japan. Because
China!
Mill Ends Park has been knocked off the throne. The honor now belongs to a town called Nagazumi, Japan.
Okay.
It's over an hour southwest from Tokyo. Their park's area is just 2.5 square feet, which is about the size of a few sheets of paper. And according to Guinness, it features an entrance and a small bench. And even some grass.
Even some grass.
So I don't know.
Now, did the Mill Ends, did they have...
It has a little tree, I think.
That's
it?
Right. I'm like, I don't think they had seating, though, right?
No, it's too small.
But the new smallest one has a room for a bench.
But it's like a freaking mouse could sit on the bench, not a human.
Oh, so it's not a person-sized bench.
You know how small Mill Ends Park is.
Yeah, I've been there.
This one is like twice as small. Not even twice as small. It's like way smaller.
This is so dumb.
Well, Portland better get to work on getting that back. We need wins.
We do.
Why steal a dump truck?
Oh.
Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? Well, we have a woman who stole a dump truck with a knife. At knife point.
Sounds scary.
Is it?
I don't know. You tell me now or after the break.
Well, maybe after the break. But you're a dump truck driver, and a woman comes up to you with a knife and wants your dump truck, don't you just... You're like, fine. Here you go.
Yeah, or I...
Good luck.
From my perch on my dump truck, I just kick her in the knife, and I I take care of that.
Kick her in the knife, huh?
I mean, if she's holding you up in your dump truck, don't you have an aerial position to just boot that thing?
I mean, come on, listen. A woman with a knife, is that... Well, never mind.
Careful.
Yeah. We'll get to that next on The Fan. So here's Buck's favorite...
Oregon Coast soundtrack music.
Yeah, the War on Drugs.
Yeah. It's a vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of be your vibe, that's fine. Right. Mix it up next.
This is In the News, Feb 28, 2025. A woman was arrested after stealing a dump truck by knife point on Thursday. Deputies reported to Northwest Onion Company just north of Brooks around 2 p.m. They spoke with employees who said the woman, 35-year-old Tiffany Cummings, had taken off with the vehicle after making threats with a knife. Officers tracked down the dump truck near Portland Road and Howell Prairie Road Northeast.
More like Tiffany Goings, if I'm catching a drift.
I like that. Cummings and Goings refused to get out of the vehicle. Law enforcement sicked. What's
they sicked
the dog on her. Is that the right? Like, what is the
past tense of when they?
Yeah. What would that?
I don't know.
I'm stumped.
They sought.
They sicked it.
There's no way we're getting that right.
No, we're wrong on all levels there. They deployed a canine unit. Said she had been non-compliant. I kind of want to see what happened there. Like, so the canine just jumps into the cab and rips her out of there?
I'm looking up the official past tense, and it is sicked.
It is sicked.
Yeah, S-I-C-C-E-D or S-I-C-K-E-D.
They sicked
he
the dog
sicked
on
his dog on
that
me.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, then you can blame AI, because that's what AI says it is.
No victims or witnesses injured. Now, if you steal a dump truck, I don't know why you would steal a dump truck, but
because you're on meth or fentanyl.
Right. You're not thinking clearly, but if you did steal a dump truck, would you load it up with some crap you got to get to the dump before you, you know?
I think if you're stealing it, your motivation for stealing it is to try to turn it into some money-making endeavor for you. So I think you're less worried about the utility of moving your stuff around and more, where can I take this to flip it?
I hate going to the dump. It's really annoying because the 1-800 Got Junks. Like, I hope they're not a sponsor. Maybe they are.
They might be.
I'm sure they're wonderful. But I find that a little too expensive. But if you don't have a truck and you just got a few things you got to get rid of, it's like, do I want to make a trip over there? And can I get them into my car? It's just annoying. So maybe stealing a dump truck is the answer.
I can't imagine that's a worthwhile plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
In more stolen, I guess, vehicle news? Is a boat a vehicle? Is it a...
A boat is a vehicle.
It's more of a vessel.
Yeah.
A 42-year-old man from Aberdeen, Washington, is being held on $250,000 bail after he allegedly stole an 80-foot, $8 million commercial fishing boat.
Nice.
Out of Westport with the crew still on board.
Oh, okay. Were they sleeping and surprised, or did he just kind of Somali pirate this thing?
No, they were docked, and he jumped on, and he convinced them that he was the new captain of the boat.
So he did Somali pirated. I am the captain now. That's what he did on freaking Captain Phillips.
A subject had boarded the vessel, woke the crew, and advised them that they needed to get underway. The newer crew did not know the captain, but didn't argue, thinking he was an alternate operator or someone sent by the real captain. He surely acted the part as he knew how to start and operate the large vessel.
Wild card, bitches!
After a short while, the crew grew suspicious of his behavior and called the boat's actual captain from the bridge. And after speaking with the captain, they determined that they were on a stolen boat.
Can you imagine being that captain and getting that call? No, I didn't send somebody down there. What are you? You have my boat? Where?
Well, and how dumb do you think the captain thinks the crew is?
Real
it's
dumb.
Like, you morons.
If I was doing this, don't you think I would have told you? Yeah. A lot of that going on.
Well, they finally figured out something was wrong. The subject driving the boat was talking about meeting the Chinese mothership and was not making sense. He certainly was not describing fishing activities.
China!
So as they were getting out of Gray's Harbor and about to cross into the ocean, that's when they knew, oh boy. So the police were called, and he actually turned the boat around and returned it to the harbor. So he had $4,000 cash on him and a large quantity of marijuana.
Nice. Doesn't really seem like a stoner plan, though. Does it?
No.
Seems like more of a
that's
know,
more
an upper
methy.
An upper kind of a plan.
that windmills are driving the whales crazy.
So you have time for one more story here on In the News today. Which Oregon town made the list of most adorable coastal towns in the world? You know, you were talking about your affinity for the Oregon coast yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess?
Well, we just recently stayed in Neskowin, and it was really nice. And
Neskowin.
It was really small. It said quaint. What was the descriptor here? Oregon's most what?
Most adorable
most
coastal towns.
Adorable. I was looking for that adjective.
In the word. In the world. Oh. Not the word. The world.
Adorable?
Yes. They are calling it adorable. And it is adorable.
Manzanita? Yachts?
No, you're overthinking it. Come on.
Cannon Beach.
Yes.
Okay.
Cannon Beach.
When I heard adorable, I was thinking smaller. So.
Number three. Well, Cannon Beach is pretty small.
Yeah.
Says Pacific Northwesterners have been vacationing here for decades, but only recently has the Oregon coast been recognized on a larger scale. Cannon Beach is the home to the insta-famous Haystack Rock, where during the right season you can see numerous bird species. Additionally, the town is known to be super dog-friendly. That is true. We have we take Molly two poops.
Yep, that's a great thing about a lot of Oregon beaches is most of them are pretty dog-friendly.
Number one is Sayulita, Mexico. Sayulita. Colorful surfers village on the Pacific Ocean, flanked on the other side by the Sierra Madre Mountains.
Nice.
And then, have you ever been to Australia?
No. I've been to Fiji.
World travels? Byron Bay, Australia is the second. Cannon Beach is actually third on this list.
How about that?
How about that?
A lot of treasures here in little old Oregon.
Yeah, Cannon Beach is great. I will hear no...
It's amazing.
Cannon Beach slander.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. That's it, bros. Cheering the news, February 28, 2025. Coming up next, we've got the Hot 5 at 5. A lot of NFL news today. And then Joey Harrington will join us from a very special place at 5:30 on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.